560 The Answer. AccuWeather forecast.
A shower or a thunderstorm early this evening. Otherwise cloudy, low 74. Sun and some clouds tomorrow with thunderstorms around in the afternoon. High 91. Mainly clear tomorrow night, low 75. Sunday, clouds and sunshine with a couple of thunderstorms around in the afternoon. High 89. Monday, clouds and sun with a thunderstorm. High 89. I'm Brian May on AM 660, The Answer.
Ladies and gentlemen, step it right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll.
Show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you live on AM 660. The Answer from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, for the very best in mercury-free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. I am Christopher Hart, joined by Steve Gushoff of the Liberty Council here, and that thump you heard about 10 o'clock this morning was me falling off that limb that I went out on last night when I said the Supreme Court I didn't think would do what they dag-nabbit went and did today. Steve?
There were a lot of thumps at 10 o'clock this morning at the Liberty Council offices as well, but this is the fight that we're up against. It's an abomination, an absolute atrocity what the Supreme Court did, but I'm here to tell people, first and foremost, we have not yet begun to fight. If you are out there and think that this is the end of the battle against same-sex marriage, put that thought out of your mind. Liberty Council is here telling Christians to stand your ground, engage in civil disobedience, and ignore and reject this unconstitutional, ungodly decision by the United States Supreme Court today.
All right. It's fighting words if I ever heard them.
Did I make myself clear?
If you haven't, I'm sure you will. Welcome to the show, folks. If you want to participate in the conversation, if you got something you want to get off your chest about the Supreme Court decision today or about anything else, 407-774-8255 is the number. It's Friday, so that usually means it is Dr. K will be with us, but not today. He is in Las Vegas with his son, who is going to be attending UNLV as they go through orientation out there. But who knows? He may call in from the casino floor. I mean, he may call in from the college.
He may ask you for a loan
to get home. Just other quick, real quick breaking news. ABC is reporting that Richard Matt, one of the two fugitives that escaped from that Clinton prison up there, has been evidently shot. I hope it's not some sort of Rambo thing where they think they shot him, but evidently Richard Matt, one of the two, has been shot and presumably apprehended. But the bigger news of today is this Supreme Court decision. I didn't think that they would go as far as they did because there's nowhere in the Constitution that warranted this sort of thing. But, of course, that hasn't stopped them in the past.
Why let logic get in the way, right?
Didn't stop them with that decision yesterday and certainly didn't stop them today. First of all, let me just give you the breakdown, folks. It was a 5-4 decision today. Justice Kennedy was the swing vote, another Republican appointee. Yeah. And he teamed up with the staunch liberals on the court, which Breyer's won, another Republican appointee.
Yep.
And then, of course, you had Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan. This time, Justice Roberts sided with the minority. Did he write the dissent?
There were four separate dissents. Each of the four justices who dissented filed their own dissenting opinion. That's fairly historic. That rarely happens in Supreme Court decisions. Normally, there's just one single dissent where all the dissenters get together, they look over the dissent, they say, looks good, and they sign off. Each of them today, and I think for purposes of history and leaving their mark, so that they could say what they wanted to say in such a horrendous decision, they each filed their own separate dissent today.
And that would mean that they had four separate legal arguments against the decision.
There was a, yes, I mean, there was a similarity to them where they basically all said that this was unconstitutional, had no basis in the Constitution. Chief Justice Roberts said that in his dissent. He said, for all of you who are celebrating this decision of the majority today, don't celebrate the Constitution because this has nothing to do with the Constitution. He nailed it. He did, you know, he was lousy yesterday in Obamacare, but he nailed it today.
Well, I tell you, and that's the scary part of all this. Let's go to the phone lines. And once again, folks, if you want to call in, 407-774-8255. Mike, thank you for calling.
Okay. I'm mad with the Supreme Court. I'm mad with everybody. I'm mad with the Republicans. Why do they march in lockstep with President Obama? Even the Tea Party people, everybody is giving Obama more power. I've been mad about that all week, and now this happens. Where am I supposed to go? This is not my home anymore.
Here's my response to you, Mike, is that, you know, and I'm speaking as a Christian first and foremost. Christians no longer can trust their government, whether it's the federal government or the state government or local government, to have their backs anymore. I don't care if we're talking about the executive branch, legislative, or judicial. Christians no longer can trust either the Democratic Party or the Republican Party to have their back either. This is it. This is really prophetic in many, many ways. I mean, you know, the Bible talks about the end days, people turning away from God. And this is just another example of how far this country is turning away from God. We can no longer sing God Bless America in this nation. We have to start singing God Have Mercy on America as we continue to go further and further away from him. And but this is the time that Christians have to rise up. And I want to just repeat what I said before. If you are appalled by this decision, and there are many Christians who are, this is not the time to throw in the towel, because there's a lot of Christians that want to. They want to say, oh, this is terrible. You know, we can't do anything anymore. No, you have to be involved in principled resistance. Now, this is no different than Dr. Martin Luther King engaging in civil disobedience in the early 1960s, where he was willing to go to prison to fight unjust laws. Christians have to do the same thing. It's time for Christians, for Christian churches and Christian individuals to have a backbone, to grow a backbone, and say to the court, to the president, to the legislatures, whether they're in Washington or Tallahassee, that we're not going to take this anymore. Because the biggest problem we have right now in this nation is not a judicial problem. It's not executive. It's not the White House. It's not Congress. It's not Tallahassee. It's a spiritual problem, because up till now, Christians have not fought back hard enough. And it's time they do it. Now, sometimes people say to me, oh, but that's not Christian to engage in civil disobedience. That's not biblical. Oh, yes, it is. There are tons of examples in the Bible of people who engaged in civil disobedience. Daniel, Esther, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Peter, Paul, all the apostles. Peter said in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. And that is what we need to do now. This decision is an atrocity, and it begins persecution of Christians. You think it's bad today? You watch. All this is going to do is give momentum to those who are same-sex marriage proponents to start attacking Christian churches, adoption agencies, bakers, pizza makers, innkeepers, photographers, printers, anybody with any sort of Christian ministry or organization or business who will not celebrate same-sex marriage. I say to all of you, get ready, because the attacks are coming. And if you get attacked or someone threatens to sue you because you won't celebrate same-sex marriage, call us at Liberty Counsel. We'll defend you free of charge. Go to lc.org or call us at 1-800-671-1776, because we are not throwing in the towel. We are telling Christians, stand your ground, engage in civil disobedience.
Well, let me ask you this. Martin Luther King led some marches. Are we going to march on Washington?
I don't know. There's been marches. I mean, you got to do more than march. You have to be willing to understand that there's a price that's going to be paid if you're obedient to God's word. This is no different than the original church.
They're ignoring us. They don't pay any attention to us. Franklin Graham drew like $500 million, I think it was, out of Wells Fargo, and I didn't see the news give any notice of it.
No, that was definitely on the news, because I saw that story. But, you know, Franklin Graham today, I mean, I just saw his comments on this. Let me read you what he said today.
We need to make some noise.
Well, Franklin Graham said, God gave us marriage, period, and God doesn't change his mind. If pastors are going to be forced to provide marriage services for gay couples, I'm not going to do it. long before our government.
They're not going to put you in jail. They're going to fine you, and you'll lose your house and die in poverty.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you're a Christian,
they don't want to make martyrs of us. They're going to ruin us.
You're absolutely right, because what this is, what you're seeing today, Mike, is this is the beginning of the assault and the attempt to eradicate, fully eradicate Christianity from the United States.
Okay, Mike, let me jump in here, too. First of all, let me get kind of philosophic on you here for a second. Let's look at the big picture. This is a great challenge, perhaps one of the greatest challenges from within, especially, that this country has come up against since its founding. So that challenge is falling to us, and this is the Lord's work. So we have God on our side. We're on the right team, and I don't think that he would give us this kind of challenge if he did not think that we were not up to it. Now, whether we fulfill that promise is another question. But to me, when it comes to the end days, and they say, well, what did you do, when you were down there on that planet Earth? I said, well, I stood up and I fought God's fight. And I fought against formidable foes that were coming at me from all directions. Couldn't tell half the time which was friend or foe, but by God Almighty, I fought and I fought on. And at the end of the day, that's all we need to do, Mike, and have joy in doing it, and have trust that God gave us a huge challenge because he knows that we can deliver huge results. And this also, I believe, sort of turns the tables now. Where Christians are going to be put in the position of, if you will, being the victims, the ones who can take their case to court and say, hey, we got rights here, too, you know.
Exactly.
You ever read that doggone First Amendment there? The first one? The first one? So I believe, sometimes what appears to be a huge, this is why I say there are perverse rules in politics. Sometimes, maybe this time, huge defeats turn into huge victories.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to us. And yeah, the fight is on. The gauntlet's thrown down. The question now is, are we up to the task? And I think that we are. And at the first and foremost, you just need to go to who's telling you the truth. And then you work out from there. So you just keep listening to us, because that's what we are determined to deliver every day. Mike, thank you so much for the call. And don't be frustrated. Be determined. Okay?
Amen. Chris, you sound like you should be leading a tent revival over there.
Well, somebody needs to. All right, let's go to Don. Don, thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
Hey, bear with me a second, because I'm going somewhere with this. Poor old Mike was all upset because the politicians are ignoring us Christians. Well, excuse me, but Christians, the Christian community, joined the libertarian community last election, sitting home on their hands. And we're getting now exactly what we deserve. We're getting the wrath of Obama, because he won the election because they sat home. Christian community, libertarians sat home, would not go vote for
him. Well, Don, I see where you're going with that, and I appreciate that. Now, Michael Medved would argue with you on the numbers, but here's where I'm coming from. I don't think this so much has as much to do with Barack Obama as it. Well, go ahead.
Let me finish my point.
Okay.
I believe that the people who are sitting in the pews on a week-in, week-out basis every week, those people got registered and probably went to vote. But, on an annual basis, there's a whole bunch of Christians that go to church on Easter and go to church on Christmas, and that's it.
And they aren't even registered to vote. You're absolutely right about that. The vast majority of them fit in that category.
They call themselves Christians. And they don't watch Fox News. They watch MSNBC and NBC and ABC, and they listen to country music, and they have no idea what's going on in the world. There's what's called low information voters, but they're still a part of the Christian community. And here's the point where all this is going. The church has a list of all those people who are two times a year attendees, and they need to get involved in getting people like you and me, giving us those names and those addresses and telephone numbers, and allowing us to go out and knock on their doors and say, wake up, Christian. You need to get involved not only in your church, in your family, but you need to get involved in the civic affairs and go vote for people who share your value.
All right. You said it very well, Don. I tell you, I'm up against a break, but when we come back, I'll let Steve comment about it, and I appreciate your call. But you hit the nail on the head. There are a lot of people out there who are very apathetic, and somebody needs to light a fire under them, and we're trying to do it, and perhaps this decision today might have lit it. But we shall see. Don, thanks again. Excellent call.
Listen, don't let me come and get you, because it's going to be a blessing to teach you a lesson.
Oh, Lord, and I wish somebody would teach those Supreme Court justices, at least two of them, Kennedy and Roberts, a lesson. Breyer, too, while we're at it. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time primetime show as we're sorting out the latest. And this, I believe, is bigger than the decision yesterday, and I'll tell you why here in just a second. But if you want to join the conversation, get it off your chest, or if you have some ideas what we can do about this mess, give us a call at 407-774-8255. I believe this is a bigger decision than yesterday's, because yesterday's can theoretically fairly easily fix it. What I mean by that is a legislature with some good leadership and a Republican president could fix Obamacare.
Neither of which we have in Washington right now,
but theoretically.
Theoretically.
All right. This one is much more difficult, because this would require a constitutional amendment to reverse this decision, unless some future court were to somehow reverse the decision, which is not totally unheard of, but is very rare. And when you consider how many states have already approved same-sex marriage, I believe the numbers are at this point anyway, insurmountable.
But it's not states that have approved same-sex marriage, though. That was all the judiciary.
Oh, okay.
That was all judicial activism. More than 51 million people in this country across 38 states have voted for marriage as one man and one woman across this nation. In more than 30 states, and more than 51 million people have said marriage is one man, one
woman.
This
court
is all
actions.
Judicial
okay.
activism from state courts here in Florida right up to the U.S. Supreme Court.
And federal courts around the land as well.
Everything. State and federal courts all around the nation. But you're right in terms of what you said, Chris, where today's decision is worse than yesterday's because it changes American culture radically. This decision, in my opinion, is as bad as Roe v. Wade, is as bad as Dred Scott. In Dred Scott, they said that blacks were property and not people. Roe v. Wade allowed abortion. This is just as abominable as those decisions. I want to read something else that Franklin Graham said. He said, "I pray God will spare America from his judgment, though by our actions as a nation, we give him less and less reason to do so." That's where we're at. And the caller who called before Don, he's right. Christians, your backs are up against the wall right now. There's a writer that I read an op-ed recently by a writer named John Zemirak. He said the following about this issue of same-sex marriage. He said, "Hatred of the gospel is boiling over into the vilification of Christians. State violence won't be far behind, history teaches. It's stunning how quickly the demands of gay activists went from libertarian, such as don't arrest us for sodomy, to totalitarian. Take part in our weddings or we'll destroy your livelihoods." This is what it's all about. It's going to get worse. And again, if you're a Christian church, you're going to start getting phone calls from same-sex couples wanting to get married in your church, and if you say no, they'll probably sue you. If you're a Christian adoption agency, you're going to get calls from same-sex couples wanting you to give them a kid. If you don't, they're going to sue you. If you're a Christian baker, they're going to want a wedding cake. Christian pizza maker, they're going to want a pizza. Innkeeper, they're going to want to hold it at your inn. Suits are coming. More attacks are coming. But we've got to stand firm. This is revolutionary.
Okay. Diane is on the line. Diane, thank you for calling.
Ted Cruz was on earlier, and he was saying the states need to take back their rights. All our governors, we have so many Republican governors and so many Christian governors. I don't understand why they're standing around letting this happen.
Yeah, but Diane, let me ask you a question. What good is it to have a Republican governor if you have a Republican governor like Rick Scott, as we have here in Florida, who says he's conservative, who says he's a conservative Republican, and then he signs a bill allowing same-sex adoption in this state without giving any protection or coverage whatsoever to faith-based adoption agencies so that they will not have to violate their religious beliefs? Same thing in Indiana. Mike Pence, a Republican governor, caved in on the Religious Freedom Act there. Same thing in Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson. Republican governors are doing nothing across this nation to protect Christians.
Might this decision change that dynamic?
I hope so. I don't know that it will. It's like I said before, as Christians, we cannot trust either the Democrat Party or the Republican Party anymore. We cannot trust any single branch of the government. There may be individual politicians. Ted Cruz is good. You know, later on I'll read, you know, some really strong quotes from Mike Huckabee and Bobby Jindal on this issue. But Christians, you got to understand, the attacks are coming, and it's now or never. This is like almost like being a Jew in Nazi Germany in the late 1930s. First there's intolerance, then there's persecution. Right now, the Christians in modern-day United States of America are like it was for the Jews in Nazi Germany. The attacks, the persecution, they're coming. You got to be ready and fight back for your life.
Diane, thanks for calling. You got anything else? I got to go to a break.
No, go. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you so much for being out there. Eva, I can give you about 35 seconds.
Yes. I just want to know if you can suggest something that when we have elections again, we can get more informative about our state Supreme Court judges so we can see where they check what they've done in the past. Because they'll have a history, and people like you guys that's in the know can support one or the other so the rest of us will know where to put our vote.
Okay, excellent question. I got to let you go, though. Steve, can
you? Yeah, quick answer. Contact us at lc.org. We have lots of information every election year on candidates, and so go to Liberty Council. Also visit Florida Family Policy Council. That's our friend John Stemberger. He has lots of good information as well in election years.
And I believe their website is flfamily.com.
Yes.
flfamily.com or lc.org. But yeah, we got to get in. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, we're showing up on the crazy train, but we're trying to get you off of it and back on the sane train. I am Christopher Hart. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, coming to you on AM 660, The Answer. Steve Gushoff is in the studio with us right now. If you'd like to call us, 407-774-8255. Steve's going to stay with us the whole show, but we're going to take a little diversion here because I want to introduce you to somebody who's a part of the American Adversaries Army and a big part of the American Adversaries Army. And matter of fact, we couldn't do this show without people like Rob Keeler of the Keeler Group. Rob Keeler, thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Oh, thank you, Chris. I appreciate the opportunity.
You picked a whale of a day to come in and be on a News Talk radio show.
I did.
Now, Rob is a new sponsor of ours. And, of course, we appreciate that. But also we appreciate the fact that it's a high-quality operation that he runs. You know, we try to just bring you the best, you know, with our sponsors. We don't want anybody to be upset with one of our sponsors. And I know if you deal with Rob Keeler, you're going to be happy. Rob Keeler and the Keeler Group are real estate professionals, and they'll handle just about any kind of real estate transaction there is. Am I not mistaken?
You're pretty close and dead on there, Chris. Pretty much what we do is primarily deal with real estate investors, per se. We're not necessarily the agent that deals with the homeowner that comes in that's looking for their next home. Predominantly, again, it's the investor that we reach out to and that we market to. And most people, I would say, well, why the Keeler Group? And all jokes aside, why not? But other than that, I would say, you know, the one word that separates us from most is partnership. We actually partner with our clients to search out whether it's that REO bank-owned property, whether we're walking through with them through the process of actually setting up and establishing their entity in which they're going to purchase it, or anything in between. So we try to assist them from A to Z.
Well, now, let's say I'm an up-and-coming, living the American dream person, and I've got my home, and I'm raising a family, but I want to have a rental property or two. You be the guy I need to go to?
I would think so. You know, most probably owners are going to turn to their local real estate agent. And the difference between us is we're going to try to understand exactly what you're trying to achieve, whether it's that 3-year, 5-year, 10-year plan. And we're going to back into that to fit you with the best investment opportunity possible. So by far, I think we handle things a little bit different, but we look at the end result and work backwards.
And by the way, folks, if you want to talk to Rob, you can call him at 321-277-2192 or go to teamkeeler.com. That's Team Keeler, spell it out, K-E-E-L-E-R, teamkeeler.com. And, of course, you deal in commercial real estate, too.
Yes, that's actually my forte, if I had one. And what I would do in commercial real estate, basically, is I'm not just your typical listing agent or buyer's representative, but we work with and have an exposure of up to almost a million investors across the United States and globally. And what I mean by that is we have active investors in our database that we deal with from California, Boston, Seattle, Australia, South Africa, South America, just all over the place. So commercial real estate is a booming industry right now. Obviously, we came through the downside, and we're back on track. And we can handle everything from your hotel to your apartment to your office building to your industrial.
And now you're talking about either the buyer or the seller side, right?
Buyer or the seller side, absolutely.
And you mentioned commercial real estate is booming. Now, I know you're not really in the home buyer, the homeowner's market, but single-family homes and apartment complexes, how is the market there in terms of investors? And are they affecting the market, driving prices up?
Yeah, absolutely. My take on the apartment market, of course, the apartment market has been red hot now for going on 3.5 years. So you're finding a lot of those owners that own apartments are jumping on board, and I would say some of them are probably overpricing their property because, you know, they're the last ones to get on that particular wave of investors or owners. The investors, on the other hand, that's still a red-hot market. The financing out there is unbelievable as to what you can get into for true multifamily lending. And on the other side of that, when you look at the residential market, residential owners that are trying to liquidate their homes to investors, that's probably a little bit slower process. However, like using our services, we deal directly with some of the banks, some of the asset managers, and we in turn also deal with some of the smaller hedge funds and investor groups that are looking for bulk residential.
Right. Now, I have an admission to make here. I listen to talk radio, and I sometimes flip the dial and hear the guys on the other stations. And I know a couple of fellas who have nationally syndicated shows on a couple of different networks, and they're now financial advisors, shall we say, made their millions in the real estate investment market, mainly by buying and renting properties. Is that something that somebody with a little bit of cash could get into?
Absolutely. I believe right now you're finding that the single-family residential home rental market is one that's coming back pretty strong. Of course, here locally, speaking of Central Florida, we've had a huge influx of apartment construction that's coming up. You see a crane everywhere you turn around a corner these days, with 3,000-plus units coming on board construction-wise. There is still a huge demand for the residential renter out there. So that being said, anybody that wants to pick up that next rental home or a couple of rental homes and build a portfolio and pay down their mortgages so they have a solid equity position down the road, now is definitely the time.
So you're not just looking for high rollers out there. You're looking for anybody that wants to get into the investment real estate investment market.
Absolutely. And we treat everyone, no matter if they're coming in for the next rental home or if they're coming in for the next hospitality of 120-unit hotel or whatever. It's the same process for us.
Now, obviously, a couple of years ago, if you were a real estate investor, you were hitting sort of the bottom of the market. Is there still a lot of top side to go?
You know, I do feel in certain segments, certain asset classes of the market, we are going to reach that peak. For instance, you know, the apartment, as I mentioned earlier, has been red hot. That's not going to last forever. Usually retail follows that. And then, of course, you got industrial and office, and office usually follows last. But everything in between there, they all peak at different times through these cycles and these trends. But I think we still have a long way to go. As long as the interest rates just tick up moderately, I think we're going to be in a good position as far as investors of any kind.
And, of course, they are ticking up slightly, but still these mortgage rates, these interest rates are at record lows.
Absolutely, they are. And for most of the investors out there, especially seasoned ones, you know, that get into the 1031 tax exchange, you know, we're able to help in that capacity as too. We have a team of accountants and attorneys that we work with here in Central Florida. And mostly we can pretty much accommodate any any investor at any particular stage of their process, no matter if we're the one that acts as the broker on their deal or not.
Once again, folks, we're talking to a brand new sponsor of ours, Rob Keeler of the Keeler Group, and you can reach him at 321-277-2192 or visit them at teamkeeler.com. That's teamkeeler.com. And if you are in the real estate market as an investor now or want to get into it as an investor, even if you just want to sort of, sort of tippy toe into it, Rob is the man you need to talk to. You've been doing this how long, Rob?
Going on 27 years now.
27 years. So you kind of know your way around the market, I take it, right?
Yes, my family has been in and out of development, and I've come through the construction development side all the way through the residential and commercial real estate side.
And they say, you've heard this, the old expression, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And that kind of is especially true in real estate, isn't it?
I would say so. Of course, the what you know part is pretty important these days because you can really get caught, unfortunately, in a bad position if you're not doing your due diligence and everything. But the who you know part is absolutely critical, not just whether it's us, whether it's other brokerage houses out there or other professionals in the industry. You definitely got to build a team around you because not one person does this very well.
And that's why you have a team.
Absolutely.
And been in your business for 27 years, so obviously you've got a great reputation, and you've helped a lot of people make a lot of money.
Yes, absolutely.
So, folks, if you'd like Rob to help you make some money, give him a call, 321-277-2192, or visit them at teamkeeler.com. You have a local office here in Orlando?
Yeah, actually, I am I'm a associate broker here with Watson Commercial, so that's where I hang my shingle, as we call it. But the Team Keeler and the Keeler Group is a part of Watson Commercial, and that's their Longwood, 1445 West 434 in Longwood.
So if you're, once again, if you're looking to sell some real estate, then Rob might be the man that you need to be talking to. So give him a call and find out, 321-277-2192. Rob's going to stick around a while. As I said, Steve Gushov is still in the studio. He's doing more. He's over there working away. This man, he is nonstop.
Fighting the good fight.
Fighting the good fight. That's what we try to do every night right here on the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Once again, Rob Keeler, I want to thank you for being a member of the American Adversaries Army and sponsoring our show. So very important, folks, that we get the word out on a constant basis and try to help you out in the process. That's why we have great sponsors like Rob Keeler. We'll be right back.
I asked a wise man one sunny day, can you help me find my way?
Boy, we need some wise men to come along and help us find our way. That's why we bring in guys like Steve Gushov of the Liberty Council. I am Christopher Hart. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Show, and we are going to be here, of course, until 7 o'clock. I still have Steve in the studio. We also have Rob Keeler of the Keeler Group in the studio with us, and Rob is a new sponsor of the American Adversaries Army, and I want y'all folks to treat him right now. No hazing. No initiation ritual here. Just give him some good business and he will take good care of you. He does commercial real estate. He does, he's an investment, real estate investment broker. And, Rob, we were talking about, houses, single family houses, the rental market for that is real hot right now. I've read some articles in the paper where a lot of people are doing vacation rental homes.
Yes.
Am I saying that right? Do you understand what I'm coming from?
Yeah, absolutely. And part of what we do, too, is we have some special relationships with some local and national builders here locally. And what we're offering is we go in and package these homes. They're vacation-type homes because they're obviously located close to Disney, Universal, all the stuff that everyone else away from Orlando wants to come and visit. And these homes are basically situated where we package them up in groups of 3, 5, and 10, and we can offer them at below market value to the investor, and get special financing on those as well. And the ROI, return on investment on those properties are very, very good.
Well, not only that, not only do you get a return investment in the appreciation of the property, but you get cash flow.
Absolutely. And that the cash flow was the return that I was speaking of. Of course, like you said, you get the appreciation and then being a brand new property.
So you make the cash flow won't just pay for the properties, but you'll make money on top of that.
Absolutely.
And people can get in at a fairly low investment?
Usually a typical investor that's coming in strictly as passive income is going to look at about a 20% down payment. But that being said, it still makes great sense to do it. Yes.
And folks, if you're interested in finding out more about this, please call Rob, 321-277-2192. You can talk to him or any of his team members. And, of course, they'll put you with the right person. Visit them at teamkeeler.com. And, you know, a lot of people take their residual income and put it into real estate because it is such a safe investment, is it not, in the long term?
Absolutely. And a lot of what we're actually seeing right now, just to step outside of the U.S., is we're seeing a lot of foreign national investors that's coming to the market. They're coming in either very heavy with the cash or and very little need for financing. And as a matter of fact, we're actually scheduling a trip down to South America to meet with some investors. And in a couple of months, we're actually going to Beijing and Hong Kong. Of course, those investments and those investors are more toward the commercial side. But there's going to be quite a few of them that's looking at the single-family residential in the bulk capacity so that they can build a nice portfolio here locally.
And they're doing it as investors because they know the return here is so attractive.
Absolutely.
And so is Florida in particular a very attractive state for this sort of thing?
I would say so. I'll just give you just a quick comparison on the commercial side. Let's just say if you were out in Los Angeles, Sacramento, or anywhere out in California, West Coast, New York, doesn't matter. You pick it. Right now, from an apartment or from a retail, you're looking at a cap rate, which is the capitalization rate based on your investment and the NOI on the actual opportunity itself. Those cap rates are typically anywhere between 3% and 5%. You can take that same property, exact same footprint, same property, put it here in Central Florida, and you're making almost, I'd say, 75% more, if not double.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Just because of the geographic differences, locations. It has to do, I guess, a lot with taxes and cost of living and that sort of thing?
It does. It's just the investor tolerance out there and these other places. You know, we're tending to trend a little behind the L.A. and the Sacramento and those areas. And that being said, we still have good cap rates, still good returns on these investments. So, again, timing's everything. And that's not going to stick around forever. So now is the time.
Now is the time. Now's the time. Go to teamkeeler.com. Also, what about flipping houses? You know, that used to be there were all kinds of television programs, and a lot of people were flipping houses. Is that still a viable investment opportunity?
It is. And actually, that's one thing that we help assist with as well. Being a general contractor for many years and having a license in several states, I actually kind of spearhead that. I try to stay personally out of it and have groups and part of my team that does nothing but that for investors, where we'll go in and pick up a bank-owned property for 60, 70 cents on the dollar. Those properties, it never fails, can end up taking anywhere from $30,000 to $130,000 reno cost. Time you get done, you can walk away and put that property back on the market retail for a short period of time of marketing and probably walk away anywhere between 15 to 25% return on investment, depending on the scenario.
And, of course, and then that, the quicker you get it done, the better that investment looks.
Absolutely.
Now, are you very discriminating when you get properties like that? In other words, you don't take the real basket cases? Are the real basket cases sometimes the best investment?
For us, I look for the worst of the worst that most people just want to run from. However, the location of that property is key. It's got to be in a good area. The supporting neighborhoods have to have good comps for the property. Otherwise, it just doesn't work no matter where you're at.
Right, because you'll never get the return.
Exactly.
Right, nobody will buy the place no matter how nice you fix it up.
Correct.
Once again, we're talking with Rob Keeler, the Keeler Group. 321-277-2192, teamkeeler.com. You know, a lot of people are worried about what they do with their money these days. Do I put it in the stock market? Do I buy gold with it? you know, what's the old saying? You know, they don't make any more dirt. I mean, real estate has traditionally been one of the soundest investments you can make, which is why the American dream of owning your own home has been so important and so integral to people's being able to accumulate wealth. Is that right, Rob?
Absolutely, it is. And no matter how many times you look at the cycle of real estate, I think you always see that it always appreciates in value.
It does. Yeah. You know, I know Mike McBath, you know, he's been buying up real estate. He's another part of our show. He looks for, you know, for good, you know, investments. And real estate is a good investment, and you can still find some properties real cheap around here. And Rob Keeler's the guy that can help you do it. If you want to invest some money in real estate, it's a wise investment, and Rob Keeler is the man who can put that money to the best use. And you certainly don't want to go into it blind, watching things on TV or something like that. You need somebody who has like 27 years of experience doing this and a whole team of people to help you out.
Absolutely.
And Rob Keeler's the man, 321-277-2192, teamkeeler.com is the website. Once again, Rob, I want to thank you so much for being a member of the American Adversaries Army, being a sponsor of our show, but more in particular for what you do for our community, because it's people like you who keep our community fresh and new and help people get wealthy in the process. Hey, that's a pretty good recipe as far as I'm concerned.
I appreciate it. I'm a proud sponsor of you guys as well.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that. And Rob's going to join us on a regular basis. And once again, visit him, please, at teamkeeler.com, 321-277-2192. And if you have any questions, he'll be happy to field them for you. And once again, Rob, thanks for being on the show. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. You guys have a great weekend.
All right, thanks. And you do the same. All right, stick around, folks. We still got a whole nother hour to go. Steve Gushov is going to stick around. Of course, I'll be here. You'll be there. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. So if you want to call us, 407-774-8255 is the number. We'll be back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries. No, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, let's all go see the elephant. All right, welcome to the show, folks. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. And we dropped our intro there for some reason. The gremlins are in the computers this afternoon. I guess they want out of here. It's Friday. Anyway, welcome to the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer, as we come to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, for the very best in Mercury Free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. Got a lot to talk about once again tonight. If you want to be a part of the conversation, do give us a call at 407-774-8255. Steve Gushov of the Liberty Council is still in the studio with me. We're talking about the Supreme Court decision today. Of course, if you just came out of a hibernation or something, you know, you're probably the only person who hasn't heard the news, but the Supreme Court today did approve same-sex marriage, or I guess they kind of ordered the approval of same-sex marriage in all 50 states. That's kind of what they did, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's a bully pulpit. And so they legalized same-sex marriage in all 50 states. Absolutely.
And, it was a 5-4 decision this time. Anthony Kennedy was the swing vote, as he has been on these type decisions in the past. Excuse me. I'm sorry. He teamed up along with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Lana Kagan, and Sonia Sotomayor to form the majority opinion. John Roberts this time sided with the minority, but it's a done deal, man. And I last night I went out on a limb. Today I fell off that limb. I got shaken off by the wind that blew out of the Supreme Court building. Not only did they say that all 50 states have to honor the same-sex marriages, they now have to perform the same-sex marriages. And, of course, this is going to just set up a whole new slew of legal issues, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Chris, you must have been the only, you know, eternal optimist in this because, you know, in all these months leading up to this decision, I have never once spoken with any of our supporters or any Tea Party activists or anybody at church events who has ever thought that the Supreme Court was not going to do what they did today. I think you were the only one. And I wish you'd been right, because I would say to people, I'd say to groups,
yeah,
I'm telling you right now, I don't have a good feeling about this. I'm pessimistic. I think that they're going to legalize same-sex marriage. I said, I hope I'm wrong, and if I am, you can tell me so, and I'll be glad to let you do so. But yeah, I wasn't wrong. And that's the problem.
I have to admit it was a guess, but it was a bit of an educated guess. Traditionally, the Supreme Court kind of likes to split the baby. They don't kind of like to make these broad, sweeping decisions like this one. But sure enough, in this case, they did. And if ever there was a time to sort of split the baby, this would have been it. Or just to reject both cases out of hand. Because nowhere in the Constitution does it give them the right, the power, I should say, to do this.
This is not a constitutional issue.
Which is another reason why I didn't think that they would do it.
Well, see, here's the thing. The only little grain of optimism that I had going forward up to today was that we know that Anthony Kennedy has been very pro same-sex marriage and same-sex relations,
right,
in many prior decisions.
Correct.
But he's also been very strong in favor of states' rights.
Yeah.
So the only glimmer of hope was maybe he'll lean on the sides of states' rights in this decision. He did not do so.
No,
you know,
he did not.
And so,
and he was the swing vote. And this, of course, is going to, as I said, open up a whole slew of new legal cases and legal issues. Because, and in that may be the turning of the worm, if you will, as I said earlier in the show, perhaps this does begin the process of turning the table. Because up until now, the Christians have been the villains in this play, if you will.
They still are.
Well, we still are. Absolutely. But this may begin the process of turning that table, because now it is going to be the Christians who are going to be the ones who are going to be, if you will, being persecuted. And I believe that that is the appropriate language here.
Yep, I agree.
Because, as Steve said, and I'm sure the phone calls have already been started today at churches around the country, at make shops, at whatever,
yep,
at courthouses, all in states like Florida. I want my license. I want to marry my boyfriend. Or
they already started doing it first thing at 10:01 this morning.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, there are going to be people who are not going to want to accommodate and have the right not to. We also have something called the right of free association in this country, do we not?
Well, we think that we do, absolutely, but I just want to follow up on what you said. Look, this is the deal right now. This is the time. This is the moment for Christians to decide whether or not they have a backbone. If this issue, if this decision today does not spur Christians on, Christians and pastors and churches and denominations, to say, we're not going to take it anymore. We're going to stand up and we're going to be counted. If they don't do it on this issue, they're not going to do it on anything, and we're doomed as a nation. You're absolutely right, though, Chris, because, look, if you're the pastor of a church, doesn't matter what denomination you are, you can be totally opposed to same-sex marriage, but you get some same-sex couple that comes to your church and says, hey, we want to be married at your church. You say no, you're probably looking down the barrel of a lawsuit. As I said before, if you're a Christian adoption agency, same-sex couple says, we want a kid, give us a kid, you say no, lawsuit. Christian baker, bake us a wedding cake, you say no, then it's a lawsuit. But you know what? You got to stand your ground. This is when Christians have to decide for themselves individually whether or not they embrace what God says in his word or not. Because this is just the beginning. And what the Supreme Court did, and these five liberal justices have no clue the damage they have done to American culture today. But you know what? Starting today, anything goes when it comes to marriage. In other words, this decision today is not just about same-sex marriage. You know who else is celebrating today, Chris, besides same-sex marriage advocates? Polygamists.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be next in the courthouses all across this nation. Polygamists are dancing in the streets right now because they're saying to themselves, wow, if same-sex marriage advocates can get away with this and can get a Supreme Court decision for them, we probably can too. So you're probably going to have polygamy, legitimate form of marriage. Adult incestuous relationships. You have an adult brother and sister. We love each other. We're consenting. We're adults. You can't say no to us. It's all about love and equality.
Yeah.
They're going to be lining up the same way to try to get the Supreme Court of courts to approve their relationship and define it as marriage as well. Anything goes as far as marriage goes in the United States now.
And you know who the main group I can see pushing for polygamy? Muslims.
Sure, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Kathy is calling. Kathy, thank you for calling. We appreciate you listening.
Well, good evening, Chris and Steve.
Hello.
I'm just calling in because this upsets me. As a Christian and as a woman who has been married to my husband, I'm going to be 66 this fall, over half of my
I don't
my
believe
adult
you,
life.
Kathy.
Thanks, Stephen. I'll give you a quarter next time I see you. But I've been married to my husband for over half my adult life. And ever since I can remember, marriage has been defined as between one man and one woman. There is nothing in the Constitution, there is nothing in the Bill of Rights that says that the government has a right to dictate on marriage either way.
Yeah.
And, you know, here in Florida, we voted overwhelmingly.
Absolutely.
To have definition of marriage as one man and one woman. I have the pleasure of knowing Sonia Eddings Brown out in California, who spearheaded the Prop 8. Even California, as liberal as they are, voted to keep the definition of marriage as one man, one woman.
Right.
And so did other states. So what happened? You know, the liberal activist judges overturned not only my right as a Floridian, as an American citizen, to my vote. They took away all of us who voted for this, rights.
Well,
and that's unconstitutional.
Well, that's the key. Because actually, you know, we don't allow mob rule in this country. That's one reason why we have a representative form of government. But let's just say the country, the state of Florida, got together and voted to say a certain group of people aren't allowed in the state at all. The Supreme Court could override that, you know, this free commerce and all that. They could find a constitutional reason to override that. The problem here is there was no constitutional precedent or specific, specific article or any mention that gives them the authority to do this. The states' rights amendment should have been the one overriding amendment that was in play here. And that would have said, no, there is no federal protection here. It's up to the states. Unfortunately, they didn't decide it that way. Steve.
Yeah, you're absolutely 100%, both of you, Chris and Kathy. This, look, at in Florida, you know, to follow up on what Kathy said, back in 2008, the Florida Marriage Amendment, which was drafted by Matt and Anita Staver of Liberty Council, Floridians voted by a vote of 62% to 38%. About 5 million Floridians voted that marriage was one man and one woman.
And that was on the first try, by the way.
Exactly, exactly. And what you have seen all across the country is raw judicial activism, where one judge or five judges in today's vote basically said, we don't care. We don't care what the people of any state say. We don't care what the legislature of any state says. We five unelected justices are going to decide to redefine marriage. Chris, you can't redefine marriage. It's like trying to redefine gravity. It's absolutely impossible. Let me read you something
else. It's like only being a little bit pregnant, right?
Exactly. Let me read you something else that Franklin Graham said today. He said, long before our government came into existence, marriage was created by the one who created man and woman, Almighty God, and his decisions are not subject to review or revision by any man-made court.
That's
he nailed
right.
it. That's what this is all about. But unfortunately, we have anarchy now. This is just judicial anarchy in Washington.
Yeah.
And Christians have to fight back and say no.
Yeah, God created Eve for Adam, not Steve for Adam.
Don't be using my name.
Sorry about that. No present company excluded here. But really, when you think about it, this gets down to a cultural norm. That the whole purpose of man and women joining together in matrimony is so that they can produce progeny, right? Produce kids, extend the race. And, of course, this works against all of that, which I believe at some level is at play here, too. The forces of the left, shall we say, who think that there are too many human beings on the planet, well, this is one way to reduce the population, right? Have people get married to one another who cannot bring about life.
Well, see, the reasoning of the Supreme Court, part of the reasoning was that it's not just about procreation. It's about love, about being able to marry and have a relationship with whoever you want, you know, man or woman.
Well,
and so, they're changing the definition.
And you said something earlier. They're changing the culture of the country
yes.
in doing this, you see. The cultural norm of practically all societies has been that men and women joining together in matrimony is the norm because you bring about children. And when you think about polygamy, it's taking the opposite approach. Polygamy is purposeful. In other words, it's not just because, you know, you want a harem with a lot of beautiful women. The whole point of polygamy is that you raise up more children. You impregnate more women.
Which is what Muslims are doing.
Right. You know, a man can impregnate women as many times as, well, you know what I mean. But so it's exactly why Muslims have harems, have polygamy. It's why the Mormons had polygamy. They purposely did that so that they could populate the Mormon church. It's all about population. And I believe this is also all about population control. And that plays a role in this. And it cannot be denied. But at the end of the day, the Supreme Court didn't have the constitutional authority to do what they did. So at the end of the day, what good is it to have a constitution?
What you're seeing in this country is what used to be considered abnormal behavior, whether it's same-sex marriage or even Bruce Jenner, is now considered normal. And what used to be considered normal, traditional values, Judeo-Christian values, are now seen as abnormal and hateful. So that's, again, where the culture has been turned and spun around. And so that's the problem, because this is becoming normal to American society, same-sex marriage. And again, it doesn't end with same-sex marriage. Polygamy, adult incestuous relationships, anything goes from this point on because of this horrendous decision today.
Yeah, but you're right. And what they have done is they've also redefined the word normal, because normal means that which the vast majority of people participate in and do. That is normal. Abnormal is out of the mainstream.
And it's unelected judges that are doing it.
And they're the ones who are abnormal, out of the mainstream. Kathy, thanks for the call. We appreciate you being out there. Keep your chin up, girl. Okay, once again, folks, if you want to join us as well, 407-774-8255 is the number. Oh, we got the system back up and running. We got music again. All right, we'll be back.
Isn't it rich? Are we a pair? Me here at last on the ground, and you in midair. Send in the clown.
All right.
That's what they were singing when the decision was being rendered this morning. Send in the clowns. There were five of them.
That's what I was going to say. What do they have in the Supreme Court? Do they have like a, what do they call it? What's the...
A clown car?
Oh, well. Anyway, welcome to the show. 407-774-8255 is the number. The Supreme Court went and did it today. And now what can we do about it? Well, not much. I suppose the states, though, could go out and pass laws, religious protection laws, and that, of course, would set up legal fights down the line. But it's going to take legislative action, and the states better get right to it. And I'll imagine a lot of them will jump to it. But what about the Republican candidates for president? Are any of them shining in this process, and would any of them sort of help us change the direction of the culture back?
Some are and some are not. Some are shining brighter than others, because I went and I looked online at some of the different comments that candidates made today. Let's start with a bad one first. Here is our beloved former governor, Jeb Bush.
Oh, boy. Oh, shucks.
The Supreme Court should have allowed the states to make this decision. I also believe we should love our neighbor and respect others, including those making lifetime commitments. In a country as diverse as ours, good people who have opposing views should be able to live side by side. That's perfect mush is all that is from Jeb Bush. He's trying to work both sides of the street. Talk about loving others,
that's
be diverse, blah, blah,
you know,
blah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Political correctness
it's
nonsense.
It's worthless, that statement. Yeah. Now, let me give you two good ones, two candidates that get an A+. Mike Huckabee, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, said, "The Supreme Court has spoken with a very divided voice on something only the supreme being can redefine. Redefine marriage. I will not acquiesce to an imperial court any more than our founders acquiesced to an imperial British monarch. We must resist and reject judicial tyranny and not retreat." Amen, brother. Good words from Governor Huckabee. And Bobby Jindal, Governor of Louisiana. Jindal said, "This decision will pave the way for an all-out assault against the religious freedom rights of Christians who disagree with this decision. This ruling must not be used as a pretext by Washington to erode our right to religious liberty." Those two guys, Huckabee and Jindal, were the strongest in support of it, and particularly Huckabee. He's a friend of the ministry. You met him at the Awakening, and he's the one who's basically saying to stand your ground and engage in civil disobedience. You know, because the Supreme Court is not a legislative body, despite what they may think. They're deluding themselves up there thinking that they're legislators. They're not. They do not make law. They merely interpret it. But they think they're senators or congressmen or presidents or something. That's the problem they have. And so I think it's important to kind of follow up on those comments. You know, we're getting into an election year, and so many people have announced, basically, and other candidates came out with comments, but that was kind of the weakest versus the strongest on the Republican side. And so this is a time, again, for Christians to hold the candidates' feet to the fire. You know, because it's easy to put out a quick comment today and, you know, and say something that sounds nice. But this is the time for Christians to look very, very closely at each of these candidates and see where they stand on social issues. Because, again, the Republican Party wants to become the Big Tent Party, invite in everything. Lindsey Graham said, you know, he invited Bruce Jenner to be part. And I'm calling him Bruce Jenner intentionally. I'm not using any other
name. Well, he's still Bruce from the waist down. Anyway. where it counts.
Well, it's like, you know, this is the time for these politicians who are making different, you know, different commentary to see how much are they going to do? How strongly are they going to have Christians' backs? Are they just going to tweet something nice today and forget about it? Because I think a lot of them want to. A lot of them want to forget about it. It's like, put this issue aside. Let this not be an issue now in the presidential campaign.
Yeah.
We have to go along, get along. Can't we all get along? The Supreme Court spoke. We have to agree to it. No, we do not. And any candidate out there who says that we have to abide by this decision is not someone that you should be voting for. You got to be voting for someone that has a little bit more backbone, I'll say, you know, than that. You know, and Huckabee has shown it. Jindal has shown it in terms of the initial comments that we saw today from the candidates.
Ted Cruz's comments were pretty strong, too. But, yeah, it's going, you know, this is sort of like, you know, in the old days when they would duel, you know, they would slap you in the face with a glove, you know, and that was the challenge. You know, today we got slapped in the face with a glove, Christians, I mean. Are we going to, you know, we're going to slink away from the challenge, or are we going to stand up to the challenge and fight this duel?
I think this was more than a slap in the face with a glove. This was a knifing. I mean, this was a mugging is what this was. And again, it's like, are you going to fight back and defend yourself and your faith or not? That's the question that Christians have to ask and answer today. And, you know, I was just talking about presidents in terms of presidential candidates. You know, the same rule holds for anybody running for any office, you know, whether it's president of the United States, you know, or Congress or Senate or state rep or state Senate. Because, again, we see so many, particularly Republicans, that drive me crazy. And we spoke about this last time when I was on the show, where the thing that's worse than a liberal, is a conservative who's nothing more than a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what you're seeing in Central Florida. A lot of supposedly conservative legislators who voted to approve same-sex adoption. Same thing with the governor. He signed it, didn't include any conscience clause. So what good are they? So people have to hold their feet to the fire and see where they stand. And if they don't do the right thing, get them out of office. It's that simple.
Get somebody in there who will. That's for sure. And, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, this is it's more than just a slap in the face. This definitely was a mugging, and it was a mugging of our Constitution. And it was done by Republican appointees. You know, I can understand Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Kagan. You know,
That's my point.
Because that's what they said they would do.
Yeah, they're liberals. They're going to vote that way.
And they're being true to their colors.
Exactly.
That's all we want.
Exactly.
Is our people to be true to their colors. Why we put them there. And I'm talking about Breyer. Now, he's long been on the other side, but he was appointed to be a conservative justice, as was Roberts, as was Kennedy, and they have failed us miserably.
But, Chris, this is no different than Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade was approved by Republican Nixon appointees.
Yep.
It's the same thing 40 years later.
All right. Okay, we are going to have to take a break. The Rays pregame show is going to start now, so we'll lose the airwaves, but we'll still be on AM660TheAnswer.com, or hopefully you have downloaded the free app into your smart device, the AM660TheAnswer.com free app. Just go to your app store, and that is, and get the AM660 app. AM660, The Answer app. And if you haven't already done it, and by the way, of course, you can listen to our shows if you miss any part of it at our archive, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Don't forget, Carl Jackson will be covering. I'm sure he's going to be talking about this at least some tomorrow morning on his show. Of course, I don't know, but you'll want to listen in to find out. And he'll be live right here, AM660, The Answer, at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. The What's the Score show is a fascinating show this week. Catch it at 7 a.m. And don't forget to catch us live. Live at 5 on Sunday night. We'll be back.
Diamond Dallas Page, the king of Bada Big, the master of the diamond cutter, a three-time world champion. And you're listening to the American Adversary Drive Time. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Oh, it's bad day here in America. We got smacked down three times this week. First, it was the trade deal. Then it was the Obamacare, now SCOTUS care decision. And then, of course, today, the biggest one, the worst one of all, is this decision on same-sex marriage by the Supreme Court. That's the worst one, mainly because it's so very difficult to reverse it. It'll have to be done. It'll have to be chipped away at the grassroots level. And it's going to have to be done in the sense that Christians are due their rights too.
Hey, Chris, can Diamond Dallas Page lay a diamond cutter on the five justices if we ask him?
I wish he would. Actually, just two of them would be enough. But this should have been a 6-3 decision upholding the traditional definition of marriage. Unfortunately, it was a 5-4 decision going the other way.
Here's how they arrive at these decisions. You're absolutely right, because this is the thing. The liberal justices basically said, this is the decision we want to reach from a political standpoint, and we're just going to twist the law to say whatever we want it to say to get to that decision. The end justifies the means. That's all this was all about. It's no different than what judges were doing in different county courts here in Florida.
Right.
It's the same thing. Use any sort of idiotic rationale to arrive at the decision that you want to reach. That's all they did.
All right. And now we must decide what to do from here. And Steve is right. We must stand up for what we believe in. We must stand up for our faith, for our Christian heritage, Judeo-Christian heritage, and we must be unwavering in that. And we must expect that we're going to be persecuted, we're going to be sued, we're going to be whatever. But this is a fight, you know, if you will, to the finish. And if we don't win this fight, we will be finished. But there are other things that we can do, too. We can put pressure on our state legislators and governors to pass religious protection laws. Certainly they will be tested in the courts just as well. That's where we can start. Another thing that we can do, in particular as in regards to the presidential candidates, is now Steve read some opening statements and he said it's easy to make these, you know, one-time statements on the day of, and then now we want to move on. Okay, here's what we watch for: the candidate who is not going to let this issue die.
Exactly.
Those are the people we want. The people who want to just move on. That's already been made now. The Jeb Bush types. And we'll see. They'll show themselves. They'll show themselves over the next few weeks, because the questions will still come. The liberal media is not going to let them off the hook if that's what they think is going to happen. The liberal media is going to come to them and say, well, Jeb, do you agree with the Supreme Court decision? And they will keep asking that that question in various permutations of it. And they'll continue to press it. And he's going to want, or the ones that we don't want are going to be the ones who are going to be saying, the Supreme Court has made that decision. I respect the Supreme Court decisions. We must now move on, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, we want the candidate who's going to say, I do not respect that decision. It was the wrong decision, and we must stand up for the rights of Christians in this country. Those are the candidates we need to be watching for.
You preach it, brother. You're absolutely 100% correct. And that's the thing. In other words, because if you're a Jeb Bush or any of these candidates that use the words or the phrase move on, you know what, people? You need to move on from them as a candidate. Go to someone who's going to hold others' feet to the fire and who's not going to stop fighting. Any candidate that you hear that says move on from them. Get away from them. But not just candidates, pastors too. Because the biggest problem we have in this country is not the Supreme Court, it's not the White House, it's not Congress, it's not the State House. It's a spiritual problem that we have in this country. And it starts and ends in the churches because pastors don't have any spine either. Too many pastors out there would prefer to be the coolest pastor, the most contemporary, the most well-liked, the most popular. It's like being in high school or something, than to preach God's word. You know that, you know, last year, in 2014, we at Liberty Council sponsored our Pastors and Patriots Initiative, where we were educating pastors and church leaders all across the nation about their political rights and privileges. We're going to do it again next year in 2016 as well. But let me tell you, Chris, we had a terrible time getting pastors to attend. There were many wonderful pastors that attended our events all across the nation. But boy, let me tell you, I wrestled with a lot of other pastors and debated them and fought with them on the phone because we'd invite them, and they would say things to me like, well, that's great what you're doing at Liberty Council, but I could never speak against homosexuality or same-sex marriage or against abortion in my pulpit because if I did, I'll lose half my congregation. Attendance will drop. The offering will drop. I won't get my raise next year. We'll have to lay off staff. And, you know, we're all about love at my church. And, you know, come, let me show you my coexist bumper sticker that I have on the back of my car.
Oh, boy.
You know, and so,
well,
I remember distinctly having one phone conversation with a pastor who was trying to give me that jive. And you see this shoulder right here, Chris? This was not a sympathetic shoulder to that pastor. I said to that pastor, I said, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Bible that I have, in the New Testament, in the Gospels, Jesus says, they hated me, they're going to hate you. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring division and a sword. Now, the conversation abruptly ended at that point. He didn't want to hear any more of that. But that's what Christians have to deal with. The problem too many Christians have in this nation is they're too comfortable. They're too comfortable. What you see around the world is that Christianity tends to thrive and tends to grow in nations where there has been persecution, whether you're talking about Cuba or Vietnam or China or elsewhere. We haven't had persecution yet in this country. We've had intolerance. Persecution is coming. Persecution always follows intolerance. Again, it's no different than Nazi Germany. It was intolerance of the Jews, closing down their businesses, harassing them, attacking them, then it led to persecution. The same thing's coming if Christians do not fight back, and the fight has to start in the pulpits. So I'm saying specifically now to anyone out there, if you are a pastor or a church leader, you have to get involved now. Your backs are up against the wall. And if you're a parishioner, if you're a member of a church, you ask your pastor where he stands on this issue, and not just where he stands, because he may say, oh, I believe in traditional marriage, but might not do anything about it. Find out what he's doing to defend traditional marriage going forward. And if he's not doing anything, or if he's wishy-washy, or you see that he's got a coexist bumper sticker on the back of his car, you know what? Leave the church. Leave the church, because they're probably not preaching God's true word anyway. Christians have got to take a stand and stand their ground now. If not, we are doomed, and it's the decline and fall of the Roman Empire all over again.
It is indeed. And a lot of these pastors are engaging in short-term wisdom, short-term thinking, if you will. They're doing the easy wrong thing instead of the hard right thing.
Because it's more comfortable.
Because it's more comfortable, and they don't have to go out of their comfort zone.
Exactly.
And they can keep, as they said, they can keep their parishioners. But at the end of the day, do they want to keep the parishioners or do they want to keep the church? Because
Precisely.
Because the church is what's in jeopardy here.
Look, at these pastors are going to have to stand before God. You know, pastors and teachers are held to a higher standard. The Bible says so. And so if these pastors are sitting here twiddling their thumbs and they're a bunch of cowards, basically spiritual cowards, and they'd rather be the biggest or the coolest church on the block than preaching God's word, I don't want to be them on Judgment Day when they have to stand before God. Well, it may be nice and easy now. It's not going to be nice and easy later.
No, it's not. And if they think that they can put the coexist sticker on their car and put that coexist thought in their mind, that that's going to protect them and assure them of a comfortable future, I got another thing to tell you. That their comfort zone is shrinking. It is shrinking around them whether they perceive it or not, and it will eventually choke them off. Because this movement to this is not just about gay marriage. This is about undermining the Judeo-Christian heritage
exactly.
of our country. Like you said earlier, to change our culture dramatically. Our culture up till now has been based on the Judeo-Christian heritage. This is an absolute rejection of that.
Look, the bottom line is this. The question that I have for every single pastor, every single church leader, every single Christian that's listening to us right now is this. Are you going to stand your ground and fight this, or are you going to cave in? Because it's real easy to cave in. I know of different Christian adoption agencies right now that are basically going to start doing same-sex adoptions because it's just easier and, you know, the water's not quite as hot if you give in and cave in and you still get your federal money. As well. But there are others, like our friends at Embraced by Grace, who are not going to do so. Christians, it's time for you to make a decision. Are you going to obey God's word, be true to what it says, or are you going to cave in? That's the decision that Christians have to make these days, and we're not caving in. I'm telling you that right now.
No. In an odd sort of way, perhaps this decision will motivate people who were unmotivated before, but it has certainly given us a litmus test, if you will, that we can apply to our politicians. And because
politicians and pastors
and pastors, absolutely. Our leaders, if they are OK with this decision, then they should not be OK with us.
Exactly.
And exactly. It's that simple, and it should be no more complicated than that. We don't want to hear a lot of flowery language. We want to simply hear that this was the wrong thing, not only from the constitutional standpoint, but from the cultural standpoint, and most importantly, as Stephen said, from the spiritual standpoint. We cannot stand by and allow this. And I like the way you refer to the Dred Scott decision, because the Supreme Court can make wrong decisions too. Just because there's a Supreme Court doesn't mean every decision is correct.
Chris, look, if this was 1857 instead of 2015 and the Dred Scott decision came now, would Jeb Bush, if we went back in time to 1857, say, well, you know what, yeah, we got to respect the Supreme Court, and even though they say that black people are property and are not persons, you know, they're the Supreme Court of the land. We have to respect it. Good people can disagree on that. Would he say that then? No, it's mush. That's the litmus test for politicians. Anyone that's saying it's mush, get away from them. Go to the ones that are saying that we're going to fight this and we're going to engage in civil disobedience.
Okay. And so far we know those people to be Ted Cruz, Bobby Jindal, and Mike Huckabee. H-I-J. I wanted to say them in alphabetical order, but
all right,
anyway, we'll be back. We got some more to talk about. In the spirit of coexistence, we're playing a little
this
love.
This is just
theme.
Cruel. Love Unlimited. Who selects this stuff anyway?
Welcome back to the show, folks. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show as we sort out these Supreme Court decisions this week. I'm Christopher Hardy. Got Steve Gushoff of the Liberty Council in studio. By the way, lc.org is where you can find out more about Liberty Council. Sign up there, and they'll send you all the alerts. And by the way, they got great information there, not just on the elections and the candidates, but all during the year. So lc.org, please do go there. Steve, you had something there. You know, the old when they come for the
exactly. I want to read something. We have a monthly print newsletter called The Liberator at Liberty Council. Anyone that wants a free subscription, just go online to lc.org, and you can subscribe for free for our free print newsletter.
And this is something, and it's color and glossy,
color
too, folks.
And glossy and sparkly and everything. And I want to read something that Matt Staver wrote in the most recent edition. He was talking about same-sex marriage and just the perils of this nation allowing same-sex marriage and everything that will happen after it. Matt wrote, he said, I am reminded of Martin Niemöller, a German pastor and theologian during the Nazi Holocaust, and his famous statement. First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Then Matt paraphrases Niemöller for these modern times. He says, first they came for the adoption ministry, but I did not speak out because I did not facilitate adoptions. Then they came for the wedding photographer, but I did not speak out because I did not photograph weddings. Then they came for the baker, but I did not speak out because I was not a baker. Then they came for the florist, but I said nothing because I was not a florist. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. And he ends by saying, we must stand together and speak in support of each other. We cannot cross the red line of marriage, no matter what the Supreme Court decides. Like Esther facing the unjust law of the Persian Empire, we must pray, and then we must stand firm. This crisis presents a red line we cannot cross. May God help us to remain faithful. That sums it up.
Has Matt issued a statement today?
He did. He issued a statement, and I can read a little bit from it. One, he said, the misguided majority of the court did get one thing right, where they said it must be emphasized that religions and those who adhere to religious doctrines may continue to advocate with utmost sincere conviction that by divine precepts, same-sex marriage should not be condoned. The First Amendment ensures that religious organizations and persons are given proper protection as they seek to teach the principles that are so fulfilling and so central to their lives and faith. And then Matt adds that five unelected justices in black robes call same-sex unions marriage does not change the fundamental nature of true, authentic, and natural marriage. Today's illegitimate decision not only robs Americans of the right to self-governance, but also robs children of the right and joy of having both moms and dads. That's it in a nutshell, those two sentences. I mean, that's what it's all about, and that's why the fight is on. That's why we have drawn the red line, because, you know, the battle sound, the clarion call has gone out. You know, the battle sound has been sounded at this point, and it's just a matter, are Christians going to fight back, or are they going to cave in and just throw in the white flag? That's what it's all about.
And are Republican presidential candidates going to fight back or cave in and wave the white
flag?
Hold
their feet to the fire.
Yeah.
Move on from those that say move on.
Yep, that's right. It's a litmus test for us.
Yeah.
And as far as Christianity goes, perhaps this will be our Alamo.
Well, you know what? That's a really good point, Chris, because, you know, here's the thing. And I was speaking to someone this week about this. I said, you know, they said, you know, maybe this is what it's going to take. And maybe this is going to be what Christians need in this nation to finally have a third great awakening. If this is what it's going to take to get Christians to really, truly and firmly embrace their faith and bring this nation and lead this nation back to God instead of going in the opposite direction, maybe this is what it's going to take. You know, America right now is very similar to Israel in the Old Testament. Israel, they'd get rebellious, they'd fight God, they'd tell God they knew better than him what they were going to do. And what did God say? He'd say, all right, Israel, you're on your own.
Yeah.
Good luck to you. And what would they get? Here comes 400 years of slavery, you know?
Right.
And so then when they repented, you know, he would take care of them, be gracious and merciful, and restore blessing to them. America's the same way. As I said at the beginning, we cannot sing God Bless America in this country anymore the way we're going. But if we repent, which we have not done so as a nation, then hopefully God will restore blessing to this nation. Because as bad as it is now, if this country keeps mocking God and turning away from what his word says, it's only going to get worse in a million different ways.
Boy, how far we've come in just 1 week. If you think week ago, when that kid, Dylan Roof, was being arraigned, and the family members went in there and as good Christians showed what Christianity is all about.
Exactly.
They've been showing the world since then. And lo and behold, here 1 week later, we have an absolute rejection of Christianity and all that it stands for.
They trashed the Constitution and they trashed the Bible.
And all at the same time. Killed two birds with one stone. Boy, what great people they are. And so, but once again, we'll be following this, and we will be keeping you folks informed. We're just about out of time, though, and I don't want to leave you on the weekend. You know, we're totally a downer. There has been another miracle, if you will, that occurred in Bogota, Colombia, or at least in the jungles outside of Bogota. This was in today's Orlando Sentinel. A Colombian woman who survived a plane crash with her months-old baby drinking coconut water to stay alive was rescued after 4 days in the jungle. Maria Nelly Murillo and her child were aboard a twin-engine Cessna that crashed Saturday in a remote area of western Colombia. The crash killed the pilot, but rescuers said Thursday that a heavy load of fresh fish in the cabin absorbed much of the crash impact, allowing Murillo and her son to survive.
So that's like a modern-day, well, there were no loaves, but there were fish.
That's it. So, you know, all is not lost, folks.
That's amazing.
We may have lost this battle, but we still must win the war. Let's use this as a rallying cry. Let's use this as a litmus test. Let's use this as a motivator to not only motivate ourselves, but try to motivate others in the process. And in particular, put pressure on our politicians and our spiritual leaders.
Got to do it. No one else is going to do it. You know, I said to a speaking, at a speaking engagement recently, I said, we weren't born during the Revolutionary War. We weren't born during the Civil War. But we were born during this time right now in this cultural war.
Cultural
war. To try to take back America and save this nation. God has appointed all of us to be here at this place and time. It's not going to be comfortable, and it may get way more uncomfortable, but God just calls us to be faithful. He doesn't promise us a rose garden or comfort. He wants us to be faithful, even in the face of affliction and persecution, and that's what's coming. So that's the decision Christians have to make.
That's right. And are we going to be strong spiritually, or are we going to be weak spiritually? At the end of the day, this is a test for all of us, for each and every one of us. Now, it's a litmus test for all of us, not just our politicians or our spiritual leaders, but for each and every one of us
as well.
Are we going to be weak, or are we going to be strong? God wants us to be strong, and he wants to know which among us will be strong.
Chris, one thing this is going to do is this will separate the wheat from the tares. It will show who is a genuine Christian and who's a phony and is just in it for comfort.
All right. Steve, we'll leave it right there. I can think of no better place. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for the great work you and Matt Staver and all the great folks over there at the Liberty Council do. Once again, lc.org. Folks, get involved, get informed, and get going right now. And we're going to have to get going because we're out of time for tonight. But once again, Carl Jackson tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, and the American Adversary Sunday at 5. And, of course, we'll be back here Monday. And Abe Katzman will be joining us live from Jerusalem on Monday. And I'm sure he'll have some views on this as well, plus a lot of big news out of Israel. That's going to do it for tonight, folks. Keep the faith, keep fighting, and keep listening to the American Adversaries. Night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando, a service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative, AM 660, The Answer.